today, if you turn with us over to the book of Acts, chapter number 1, I'd like to start reading in verse number 12 today of the book of Acts, chapter number 1 and verse 12. Didn't you enjoy the little ones singing today? I sure appreciate the youth choir. Thank God we've got some to sing. Acts 1 and verse number 12, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem," who? The disciples, "from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up in an upper room, where abode both Peter, James, and John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." You may be seated today. We are gathered this morning for the name of Jesus. We are to uplift him. He says he seeks such as those to worship him in spirit and in truth. This morning, I'd like to preach from this text and go through a few of the Gospels and be brief in what I do. But I want to preach from this phrase, "and Mary the mother of Jesus." And I want to preach on this simple subject today, on the mother that Jesus had. The mother that Jesus had it. May be surprising throughout the Gospels that we see these mentions, but if you'd watch your Bibles, first of all, let's go to Luke chapter number 2, verse 1, and we pick her up in our Bible. And the mother that Jesus had, I want to say we find her laboring for her son. Laboring for her son. In Luke 2, verse 1, it said, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. All went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Verse 7, "And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Now the mother that Jesus had, first of all, we see in verse number 6 that she delivered him. It was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. I want to say that Mary did not abort her baby. Mary did not abandon her baby. But here Mary, she was conceived of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing that God would conceive in her womb by the Holy Ghost and bring forth a child? And it was not any child, it was the Savior. He had never known man. Man did have nothing to do with it. But God and a little virgin woman, God picked simple things to do great things with. And here we see her laboring for her son. She delivered him in verse 6. She brought him forth. You know, childbearing, man cannot even comprehend that, but we know that is one of the most devastating pains of any lady that could ever happen as she brings forth a child. And isn't it amazing? This goes all the way back to the garden, for he said in Genesis 3 and 16, "The woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Here we see that childbearing is such a work upon a mother. I want to say something. If you don't believe in mothers, then you wouldn't be sitting here this morning. I'm going to tell you, we find the mother that Jesus had, she was laboring for her son. She delivered him. In verse number 7, she brought forth the firstborn son and wrapped him in a swaddling clothes. Not only did she deliver him, she delighted him. I love to see mothers love their children. Can I tell you, it's natural for a woman, a mama, to love her babies. It's unnatural for a woman to walk off and leave her children. It's unnatural for a woman to leave her child in a dumpster. It's unnatural for a woman to give up her child. And here the mother of Jesus, we find her laboring for her son. She delivered him. She delighted him. But in verse 7, you'll notice that she very much defended him. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Can I tell you, there's still not much room for Jesus in this old world, but I sure am thankful for some mamas today that'll make room for him with whatever they've got. Mamas, can I tell you, just keep on serving the Lord, making room for him around your dinner table, in your prayer closet, in your garden. Keep making room for Jesus, for he's still in the blessing business. We see the mother that Jesus had. She was laboring for her son. Thank God for mothers that bring forth children. Thank God. Hey, if your mother's living today, you ought to thank her how good that she's been to you. Amen. She's went through a lot to get you here. And so we ought to appreciate this morning the mother that Jesus had. We find her laboring for her son. But look in Luke 2 and 41. The Bible picks up again. Not only do we see her laboring for her son, but now we see her looking for her son. Mothers, have you looked for your children lately? In Luke 2 and 41, now I want to say this. First of all, she led him. I like what the Bible says. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover, talking about Jesus' parents. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. I want to say, first of all, they led him. Mom and daddies, they took Jesus to the temple. You ought to bring your children to church. I realize we live in a very busy society, but they're not going to get things that'll help them meet God out in the grandstands or the roller rinks or the ball fields. You ought to make it a priority to get your children to the house of God. And so here, Mary and Joseph, they led him. But look at verse 43. Not only did they lead him, they lost him. I want to preach here a minute. When they fulfilled the days, they returned the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And here she is, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. I want to say, we see her looking for her son. She led him, but she lost him. I want to ask you this as a country preacher today. Do you know where your children are? You may assume of where your children are. You may suppose to be your children here or there, but do you really know where your children are? What a great benefit to know where your children are. I'm glad I had a mama that was interested in where I was and who I was. And she was careful about who she let me run around with for a good long while. Oh my goodness, we see that she is looking for her son. She led him. She lost him. But now look at verse 45. Maybe this will speak to your heart. She looks for him. Yes, she led him, but she lost him. You know, I know a lot of mothers that have led their children right, but it seems like they've lost them. You know, I hear a lot of parents, a lot of times the devil will ridicule them and they will falsely accuse mama and daddy. No telling how many times as a pastor have I heard from mothers and daddies, well, I don't know where I went wrong. I raised my child right. I don't know where they are. Well, let me tell you, let me give you hope this morning. She led him. She lost him. him, but she looked for him. And let me tell you where she found him. They turned back and went to the temple of God. You may find your child upon your knees this morning around the temple. It do a lot of you that don't know where your children are to find them again on your knees in the house of God and go back where the things of the Lord are. You may just find your children down at the house of God. You see, you'll never know who'll come in the doors next Sunday if you'll pray. You see, a lot of times, she led her child. She lost her child. She couldn't find him. Mom and daddies, I want to encourage your heart today. You might not find your child, but go to looking for him. Go back to the house of God and worship again. Call upon the God that can change things. I'm so encouraged about a phone call I got last night. There's been men gathered in this church on Saturday night praying for the people that come in the doors of this place. What you don't know, many are scattered around the pews where your people is sitting today because they love you and they care about you. They want to see the best for you. Last night before I got ready to go to bed, my phone rang. A young man needed to talk to me. The prayers of the people had prayed for him last night, and he called me last night. What are you saying? If you've lost your children, it may be a good place to find them again around the house of God. You not find them out yonder in this world, but honey, there's a God that's a sitting on His throne this morning where you can run and find your children around the house of God. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, well, she found Him at the house of God. That's where many of you could find your children if you'd get on your knees again looking for your children. We see the mother that Jesus had. She was laboring for her son. We see her, secondly, she's looking for her son. Do you know where your children are? Thirdly, we see her loving her son. I seen this yesterday. It really stood out to me. Look in John's Gospel, chapter 2, in verse number 1. A very important statement is made here. The mother Jesus had. We see her laboring for her son. We see her looking for her son. But now we see her simply loving her son. Hey, young people, I want you to look at this verse. Mom and dads, I want you to look at this verse. John 2, the first miracle in the Bible. Look what a statement about the mother Jesus had. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Thank God for a mama that's there. Hey, would somebody help me preach this morning? Thank God for a mama that's there. Oh my goodness, we see her actions. She was there. You know, mamas, a lot of times you're pushed in the back and your children are so busy. They're doing what they've been born to do. They're trying to get things accomplished in life. And no doubt, mothers, you may feel like that you're in the backdrop. But let me tell you something that's very important is that you're there. You're there. Mamas, your children need you to be there. Where's there, preacher? With them. With them in heart. With them in prayer. And here we see this loving her son. We see her action. She was there. But look in verse 4. Jesus addresses her. Not only the action, but now we see an address. He says something. The Bible said in chapter 2 of verse 3, and when they wanted wine, the mother Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. It's hard to fool mama, amen. Jesus said unto her, look at the address, woman. What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Here she's loving her son. We see her action. We see her address, but now we see her advice. Isn't it amazing that here the Lord did not call her mother, but He called her woman? For she stands even at the foot of the cross with all of us this morning. You see, Mary is no one to pray to. Mary's not one that can get you out of hell. But Jesus died for your sins, and He brought her back down to the level, and He cried, woman, mine hour is not yet come. In other words, He was headed to Calvary. And can I tell you this morning, we find the mother of Jesus there. She is there. She's loving her son. We see her action, her address. But look in verse 5, her address or her advice. It still goes out real loud today. Look at her advice. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Can I tell you that's still good advice in this day and this hour? Whatever Jesus says, just do it. It always worked out, and sometimes it won't make sense, but I can tell you this, it'll always be right. Just do what he says, do. And so the mother that Jesus had, we see her laboring for her son. She brought him forth. A woman that bears children, I believe, is very special in the eyes of God. We find her laboring for her son. We find her looking for her son. She supposed him to have been in the company, and it's upset her so. She goes back to the temple and she finds her son. Oh, how many mom and daddies, if they'd get to praying again, how they could find their children. We find her in John 2. She's loving her son. She's there. But let's look at this fourth place where she's mentioned in John 19, verse 25. We find her now at a bad place with her son. We find her at the cross, and I want to use this statement. We find her now languishing for her son. In John 19 and verse 25, Jesus has walked through this world now. He was born of a virgin woman called Mary. He's grown up into a carpenter shop. Jesus now has done many miracles by the seaside. He's restored sight to the blind. He's done many things that nobody else could ever do. Jesus has gotten quite a name about himself. Now he goes into Pilate's hall and he's whipped, he's spit upon. Crown of thorns is placed upon his head. He's had false trials come against him, and the Romans took him to Calvary. The Roman cross was a huge two pieces of structure of wood. They would dig a hole out in the ground. They would nail their occupant to the cross by their hands and their feet. And they would take several men that raised that cross up and put it in that hole to make it stand. When that cross went to the bottom of the hole, it tore flesh and it tore bones. And here the mother of Jesus is sitting there. And I want you to see this mother is by her son with languish. With languish. I asked you, mamas, does it bother you when your children are bearing a cross? Does it bother you when your children are having a hard time? I've heard people say, well, you know, they're just getting what they deserve, and that's who they are. But really, when we lay down at night and down in the workings of your heart, I want you to look that Mary had languished for her son. The Bible picks up in John 19 and 25. It says, now there stood by. Could you imagine? The cross of Jesus. Here she is. His mother. And his mother's sister. Mary, the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, who was John, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. Could you imagine this mother, she's seeing her son on the cross? I hear a lot of people that are belittling mothers that have a broken heart, that their children are experiencing such a great cross. But mamas, I want you to see something in the Word of God that I read to you this morning. There are many people left this cross. Matter of fact, John had left it, but now he's come back to it. Many disciples have left. But you know who was standing by his cross? It was his mother. There's nothing like a mother. That mother was standing by his cross. And you know something? She couldn't get him down. And many of you, you can't get your children off that cross that they're on this morning. But I tell you what you can do, mamas. You can stand there with your child while they're experiencing this cross. Now, Jesus said something here As I read many commentators about this text, they brought something up in my heart, Brother Adam, that I never had really pondered. When Jesus looked around, he seen John, the disciple that he loved. And I want to say, first of all, Jesus was being sure that his mother was taken care of. And I want to say something to this congregation today. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, the Bible tells us something, and I want to read it to you, and I'm going to read it to you aloud. In Ephesians chapter number 6, even though when Jesus was dying, he was thinking about his mother. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's what the Bible says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Watch. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment. Now, underline this, with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live on long on the earth. Somebody's asked me, well, Brother Ken, how old do you get before you quit taking care of your parents? Are they still living? Then that's how long you're supposed to see about. Somebody say amen. They brought you into this world. They've seen about you. They give you the best years of their life. Now when their health is failing and their eyes are becoming dim, it's no time to turn your back on your mom and daddy this morning. It's time to practice on the first commandment, for there's a promise that comes with it. He said, I'll bless your days if you'll bless your mom and daddy. We found her languishing for her son. Oh, a mama's love. I had one of the greatest country mamas that ever lived. Renee makes fun of our culture, the way we was. Oh, I had a country mama. She loved her children. You know, my mama made them old-timey quilts, Miss Cormay. She'd stack so many quilts on me in the bed, you'd never turn over all night. You'd just be laying there wherever she put you. Boy, my mama'd say about me, she rocked me, I guess, till my legs drug the ground. She loved me. I loved my mother. But here we see Jesus, his heart for his mother. He finds the choicest person. And that's what I want to teach you this morning. I want you to see this in your Bible. Mark chapter number 6, and I'm going to be done preaching. Mark 6, I want you to see this in verse number 1. He turns and he tells John to take care of his mother. His mother sitting there in total languish as her son, this cross has been applied to him. Mamas, do any of you see your children experiencing a very heavy cross? It's no time to leave them, pray for them, and help them. But now look in Mark 6. He went out from thence and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, and even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother? Watch, here it is. This is what I want you to see. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary? Here it goes. The brother of James, Joseph, Judah, and Simon. There's four boys. Were Jesus' half-brothers. You with me? Are not his sisters. The Bible uses plural. So there's got to be at least two half-sisters. Jesus had four half-brothers. He had at least two half-sisters. So there's six siblings in his family. Now look what the Bible says. Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. His own family was offended at him. And when Jesus is hanging at Calvary, he said, I know who will take care of my mother. I know there's more siblings. I know there are more brothers and sisters. But I'm going to find somebody that's saved. I'm going to find somebody that's committed to take care of my mother. And can I tell you, we see the heartbeat of Jesus. Not only is he dying for the sins of the world, but he's dying with thinking about his obligations to his mother. And let me tell you something, men. You're not much of a man unless you take care of your mother. Lastly, the mother Jesus had. We see that. We find her laboring for her son. We find her looking for her son. Is there anybody looking for your children? Is your children lost? She was loving her son. She was languishing her son. But Acts 1:14, back the text, and I'm done preaching. I want you to look at this. In Acts 1:14, we find her longing for her son. Miss Emily, if you would, I want you to come and I want you to sing me something this morning for invitation. Now in Acts 1, I want you to follow me and I'll close. Acts 1:10, Jesus went on the cross. He went to a barred tomb, but He didn't stay there. You know why? Because He was raised from the dead. And He lives this morning. He walked around in this world and He proved Himself to others. And this is what the Bible said in the departing moments. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by Him in white apparel. Which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven?" And you can write this down. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen Him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem, the mount called Olivet, which from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up in an upper room. There were the disciples. Now verse 14, here's the closing statement. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brethren. You see, for the mother that her child is saved, and even though you have maybe buried a child, I pray to God that's one sermon I never have to live, Brother Adam. There's some here that's lived that sermon. But let me tell you something. When your child dies, and they know the Lord, and Jesus was the Lord, that's not the end of the story. For there's going to be a reunion day. And there's no doubt that Mary, the mother of Jesus, even though He departed and said, "I will return," she's longing for the day when they are united together again. Are you saved this morning? I'm not talking about are you religious. I'm asking you, have you ever been born again? Brother Mike, I read something really touched my heart, and I could relate to it last night on this passage. There was a lady that had 9 children. She had raised them well. Her and her husband was attached to the church. Godly people, loved the Lord, loved Jesus. One man walked up to her and said, "Ma'am, I know you've raised 9 children. Which one do you love the most?" She said, "Sir, that's pretty easy. The one I love the most is the one that was sick until they got well. And the one I love the most was the one that was gone till they were brought home." What a mother's heart this morning. I could go on with story after story from my childhood. But I think the mother of Jesus gave us a great example of the mother that Jesus had. She couldn't find Him, didn't know where He was, but she found Him back at the temple. It may surprise some of you mothers to find your children back on your knees again in the temple. When that cross was applied to Him, we see her simply standing with her child. Let me tell you something. I don't care what your child does. And I don't care what my child does, they'll always be my child. My children may do things that go contrary to this book and may go contrary to my convictions of serving God. But I want to tell you real loud and clear, they're still my children. And I love them. Miss Hemmings.